will manifest itself in truth and in goodness.
Local.
The challenges that we're facing in our generation, we just need the gospel. I mean, every culture, every generation just needs to know how the gospel applies.
Engaging.
We don't bring any life at all to the church. The church is the life. It still gives us the life.
Live.
The reality is, He is all things beautiful, capital B. And so anything that is authentically beautiful draws us, even if we don't realize it, to God.
Welcome, everyone, to Real Presence Live. My name is Tim Moser, your host today, coming at you from the Fargo Studios, the mothership right here from the third floor of the Butler Building, 13th Avenue South. Beautiful, flat Fargo. Yeah. No disruptions and being able to see stuff. It's awesome. The land, the world does look flat from here, folks, just letting you know. Anyway, I have a great show planned for you today. In just a couple minutes, we'll have Patrick McGuire, who's the music director at St. Anna Joachim Catholic Church, talking about the joy of music, especially in the Easter season. Then we'll have Dr. James Link talking about the psychology behind discernment, especially discernment for the permanent diaconate. Then we'll have David Tomasia, who is the executive director of the North Dakota Catholic Conference. He'll be on as well. And then finally, in our last half hour, we'll be talking about the legends of rock and roll and how they're coming to our area. So that is a little outline of our show. Let us start, as always, with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Gracious and loving God, Lord, we praise and we thank you for another day in this beautiful season of Easter. Lord, open our hearts and our minds to the beauty and the joy that your Paschal mystery has earned for us. Life eternal. Life eternal. We praise you. We thank you, and help us to be joyous in this season. And we give you all the glory and all the honor as we pray. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. He is risen. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome, everyone, again to the show here. We're talking, Tim Moser again is my name, and we're just going to do a little brief reflection on today's gospel. Today's gospel is from John chapter 3, talking about Nicodemus, and of course that, as usual, we don't get the whole story, right? It's kind of broken up. So I just want to take a look at kind of the big picture with Nicodemus, because I want to focus on Nicodemus. Nicodemus' name means victory of the people. I think that that's going to be important. So remember that. And I also want to give you an image that's in everyone's mind today, the eclipse. I mean, did you see it, right? I mean, we didn't have totality here, but millions of people spent money and time to see this event. Now, I understand why, right? I mean, it's cool. It doesn't happen that often. It's an amazing celestial event, right? One of the greatest natural wonders we can experience. And when you saw the people, it's amazing, getting emotional. Here it comes. They were just overcome with this emotion. And we have this movement from darkness to light. Interesting, isn't it? So keep that idea of eclipse in mind, too. But let's go to Nicodemus, okay? So with Nicodemus, what do we have? Of course, he's a Pharisee. From the Jews. He'd probably remember the Sanhedrin. All right, so he's a very learned man. He comes to Jesus in the dark, right, for a couple reasons, right? I think he's obviously fearful, right, because Jesus has been stirring the pot a little bit, right? You know, in the last chapter, he just, you know, cleared the temple, and he's been doing all these wonderful works, and so it's like, okay, you know, the Pharisees already don't like him, right, the Sanhedrin. But I think a second reason shows a little bit of spiritual darkness, as we can see as this story plays out. So he comes to Jesus, and he says, we know you come from God, you know, you must do these things, right? And Jesus says, yes, no one can come with see the kingdom without being born again. The word there, anothen, means either born from above or born again. And so, of course, Nicodemus takes it as born again. How can someone be born again, go into his mother's womb and be born again? Of course, Jesus says, I say to you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. Huge line, right? Jesus is moving him from the natural to the supernatural, from what is dark to light, from sin, if you will, to salvation. And this is the key, right? And then he starts talking about the spirit and the wind. We don't know where the wind comes from or where it blows. He's moving him from this idea of natural life to life in the spirit. Of course, being born again, being born of water and spirit, talks about baptism, which brings us to our original, right? Our original salvation in Christ, right? And of course, water baptism, you know, take the ark, right? Take passing the Red Sea, crossing the Jordan. Everything is from death to life, always passing through water. Even baptism itself, right? Immersion. You're under the water. You come back to life. And so we have all this imagery, right? And so I think it's beautiful. And I would like to just say now that I think Nicodemus is experiencing this transformation in three steps. Number one, let's call it fear. He comes to Jesus experiencing some fear, but he still seeks him, doesn't he? He seeks him. He knows there's something there. And then he experiences from fear to faith through humility. He listens to Jesus. He asks him questions. Jesus says, you know, you're a teacher of the law. You don't get this, you know. He talks about how will you understand if you don't understand this. Notice understanding. That's like just using our reason. But then he goes on to say, if you don't believe these things of earth, how can you believe the things of heaven? So what Jesus is doing is trying to get reason and faith to work together, bring him up right to the supernatural level. And Nicodemus, to his credit, asks questions, but he doesn't say, no, what's going on? I think that's perfect. And so he goes from fear to faith. Now, faith, of course, is a gift, but it's also a virtue that we can practice, right? It takes practice. And then Jesus gives this imagery, right? Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And of course, you know the story back with Moses, what happened, right? These seraph serpents, right? Snakes, whatever, were biting the people. They were dying, right? This physical death. Looking upon this bronze serpent, they were cured from a physical death. Well, of course, Jesus is talking about anyone looks upon him and his cross and believes spiritual salvation, right? Life from sin. Keep that in mind too. Because Nicodemus doesn't just appear in John chapter 3. He appears in two more places. In John chapter 7, right? Jesus is doing more things. He talks about, you know, it's the great water festival, right? If anyone comes to me, you know, whoever thirsts, let him come to me. Rivers of living water will flow. The people are just going nuts, right? The Pharisees are sending guards. Go arrest this guy because he's really making us, you know, kind of torquing us off, right? And they come back and they say, well, why didn't you arrest him? He says, no one has ever spoken like this before. Of course, then the Pharisees are still mad. Are you confused too? Or are you deceived, you know? Look what Nicodemus does. He moves on to what I call the third, right? We talked about fear, faith, and this is a fervent follower. He defends Jesus in word and deed. Here he defends him in word, saying, does our law judge a man without first giving him a hearing and learning what he does? Of course, guess what? He gets dissed by the Pharisees. You know, are you deceived too? No prophet comes from Galilee. Then it says, and everyone went to their own house, meaning they're really angry. But Nicodemus, he's taken the step forward, hasn't he? He's not afraid to speak out for Christ. Fast forward to John chapter 19. By the way, in John chapter 7, John prefaces, right? John never uses words that aren't meaningful. He says, who had first come, had come to Jesus before. So he's reminding you, he came to Jesus before, right? John chapter 19, he says, Nicodemus, who had first come to Jesus by night. Of course, what's the situation? Jesus is dead. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus are coming to bury Jesus. And yes, it's a Jewish burial custom. You might think, okay, duh, they're just going to bury the body. But wait a minute. John again uses an amazing detail. About 100 pounds of myrrh and aloes. This is way over the top. In today's money, hundreds of thousands of dollars. This is not just a simple burial. Nicodemus has seen, and he has seen the light. He has gone from darkness to light. He knows this is no ordinary man. This is no ordinary death. So he goes from fear to faith to fervent follower. Isn't it amazing? He's had an eclipse. And think back, as he is anointing Jesus' body, he's thinking back, I bet, to John chapter 3, months or maybe years ago, depending on, we don't know the exact timing. He's thinking, he said the Son of Man would be lifted up. I saw him on the cross, and I know why he did it now. Everything you see is coming back and flooding. So I bet God gave him an amazing understanding and an amazing experience. So just as these people experience this eclipse with emotion, with, oh my goodness, this is an amazing event, I think Nicodemus had an amazing transformation to it, solidified it, especially when he heard of the resurrection and saw the resurrection. So what can we do today? What does it mean to us? I suggest we follow the Nicodemus example. Number one, seek God. Seek him, right? You might be a little fearful, right? Okay, that's fine, but just like he did. there's something that happened in your life. Maybe it's a family affair. Maybe it's a work thing. You know, maybe it's a health. Whatever it is, don't be afraid. Go to Him. Pray. Second thing, let that fear move to faith. Submit to God. Surrender yourself to Him. Trust in Him. My goodness, we make all sorts of acts of faith every day. I trust that the cereal I ate this morning wasn't poisoned. And that's by someone, you know, who doesn't even have a faith in God. God can be trusted much more. Okay, and finally, let that fear and faith go to fervent follower. How are we going to work today, Lord? What do you want to do in me? So let that eclipse in our life turn into this fear to faith to fervent follower. That's what we can learn from Nicodemus. All right. My friend Patrick McGuire is here in the studio. Patrick, thank you.
Hey, my pleasure to be here. Thanks, Patrick, for having me.
We got a few minutes before the break, and of course, we're going to talk about music, especially in the Easter season, but I was wondering, and I just kind of sprung this on you this morning, but one of the things that hit me as I was talking about this morning, I said, the song, Christ Be Our Light, it just makes sense. So if you just want to take us maybe even through the first verse, and then maybe would you sing the refrain for us? Because you know, you're going to enter us into that space if you're ready for it. Yeah, and I can sing with you if you want. But I mean, just this idea of how we're longing for light, and just, you know, and go ahead and feel free to speak however you want into how music and text bring us into this beautiful space. I just hopefully helped us enter.
Absolutely. No, that was a beautiful reflection, Tim. Thank you for that.
Praise God.
Yeah, at the beginning of this hymn, longing for light, we wait in darkness. And so we hear this before in multiple different places, and the theme of light and darkness, like you say, is prevalent all over the place. We get this light of Christ, and even think if you went to the Easter Vigil, we start that service with what's called the Lucernarium, which is where we come in with the great Easter candle, and the light from that Easter candle then spreads out throughout the whole church. And so you know, you could start in complete darkness in the church, but then that light of Christ, it's beautiful, especially up in the choir loft. You have the best view of it.
Yeah,
the light
just
spreads to the entire stretch of the parish, and it's just a beautiful thing. So we long for this light. We need this guidance. We recognize that we don't have this within ourselves, and so we need that light of Christ to be our guide, to be that source of life for us. Absolutely.
And Patrick, if I may just interject, three times on Good Friday, we raise the cross. Right, and three times coming down the aisle, we raise the light of Christ from darkness to the light.
Yeah, absolutely, that's right. It all goes together.
Yeah.
It's great.
Amazing.
So the next, which kind of, here we go, lead to the next part of this verse. Longing for truth, we turn to you. Make us your own, your holy people, light for the world to see. So it's not just about, a nice symbolism like we're talking about. That helps make it present to us, right? That makes it, okay, we can see it there. But what does it actually mean? How do we come fervent followers with that? Well, here's what it means. We need to go and be the light for the world to see. Now we need to take what we know, what we've come to believe in, and let that grow. And then, of course, we sing with great joy, Christ be our light, shine in our hearts, shine through the darkness. Christ be our light, shine in your church gathered today. It's a lovely sentiment right there. Absolutely, it's beautiful. So we want to be people of the light, and that's kind of what the Easter season's about in a certain way. We want to be people that have been like Nicodemus, to have come to an encounter with Christ, and now that joy is ever flowing out of our daily lives.
Beautiful, Patrick. That's wonderful. I didn't mean to put you on the spot here before you actually got to introduce yourself, but I wanted to tie everything into that little reflection. Before the break, just give us a little background, what you do, your family, and I got to meet your two wonderful daughters
yesterday.
Yeah,
that's right.
Talk about those for a minute, please.
That's right. So I'm Patrick McGuire. I'm director of music at St. Anne and Joachim Catholic Church. As Tim said, I have two beautiful daughters, Ruth and Harriet, keeping me busy all the time. I'm loving that life. My beautiful wife, Allison, as well. So we're a happy little family, working hard, doing our thing each and every day, and trying to be followers of the light, and working on that in my own right as a director of music at a Catholic parish in Fargo.
Yeah, so beautiful. After the break, we will talk about that. I just love it. I got to see you yesterday, actually. It's in Hattie, you call her, right? Here
yep.
We call her Hattie, yeah. She had a snack, and she was using Dad's knee of his trousers as a little napkin.
All of my pants have some kind of stain like that.
And isn't that just a beautiful thing,
great.
Though, right? It's
yeah.
It, you know, and you didn't worry about getting your pants dirty. It's just like you're being Dad, and I just love it. That's wonderful. So when we come back after the break, we're going to dig in a little more with Patrick about seasons, musical seasons, and seasons of the church, and how the music really helps us enter into that more fully. You're listening to Real Presence Live, and we'll be back right after this.
Live, engaging, and local. This is Real Presence Live, where we bring you positive and uplifting stories and share the great things happening in our local area on the Real Presence Radio Network.
What if you could earn a degree that offers the best of both worlds? An MBA and a master's degree in philosophy. The University of Mary offers one degree that combines world-class business training with a careful study of life's deepest questions through their combined MBA, MA, and philosophy program. By earning one degree in both philosophy and business online, you will rigorously engage the big ideas needed to address professional challenges. Visit CatholicProfessional.life.
This is Lavinia Spirito for Catholic Way Bible Study. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus crosses the Sea of Galilee with his disciples and quickly falls asleep, even as their boat is amidst a huge, life-threatening storm. The text says that the sea was literally shaking like an earthquake. Imagine the disciples' fear as they awake their master saying, "Master, do you not care that we perish?" Note that they wouldn't have been in this dangerous situation if they had not gotten in the boat to begin with. They are committed, no matter how big the storm. After setting sail in his boat of radical missionary discipleship, it can often seem that God is asleep or uncaring when we are troubled by the storms of life. The good news is that he is in fact always there and always ready to calm the storm when the time is right. Sometimes the storms are there to show us our total dependence on him and not on ourselves. Jesus, we trust in you.
Catholic Way Bible Study. Peace, power, purpose. Find out more at cwbs.org.
Searching for more great Catholic content? Visit our website at realpresenceradio.com. Find Catholic news you can trust, information about events coming up in the local area, and the latest on what's happening at the RPR Network. And don't forget that you can listen to any of our stations around the clock from anywhere in the world. Need prayers for someone or something in your life? You can submit those through our online form for the entire family to pray for. Real Presence Radio, your family of faith and hope. Online at realpresenceradio.com. You're listening to Real Presence Live on the Real Presence Radio Network. Join in the conversation on our Facebook page or on Twitter. And be sure to like and follow us for more great Catholic content. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everyone. Tim Mosey, your host here today, coming at you from the Fargo office. I'm looking through a window at a nice young man with a nicely trimmed beard. Aaron, thanks for producing again. I appreciate it. And speaking of nice young man, I got one sitting right beside me here, Patrick McGuire, Director of Music for Saints Anna Joachim Catholic Church, and whom I also call friend.
Absolutely. And right back at you, Tim.
I appreciate that. Thanks so much. I mean, there weren't some nice swag there for me and Jay, too.
Yeah,
like
that's
it.
Right. We got some nice little merchandise here.
Quarter zip fleece. I like it a lot. Well, so Patrick, you know, a lot of people, two things are on my mind here. Liturgical seasons, okay, so you may be into that a little bit. And then also music for liturgical seasons. Some people think, for instance, oh, that's a nice song, I like it, let's sing it today. But there's a lot more that goes into it than just, it's just a nice song. So go ahead and break it open for us, liturgical seasons and the music behind it.
Well, let's just maybe start with a quick overview of the liturgical year, right? So we start the year with Advent, and that's this time of preparation for Jesus' coming. We start the whole year by anticipating and kind of putting ourselves back in that maybe Old Testament mindset. We're longing, waiting for a Savior. We get the joy of Christmas then that breaks that wide open, and we feel that great joy. A short period of ordinary time in between here, and then we get into Lent, which is, of course, kind of our penitential season. We're back into that kind of feeling of longing, perhaps, a little bit, but maybe more so now it's got this penitential nature of making a return to Christ and being aware of our need for salvation, not just our need for a Savior, but our own need for salvation. We do all kinds of practices, this sort of thing, to bring to mind what we need in our lives, and then we get the beautiful joy of the Easter season, where Alleluia is our song, Jesus Christ is our Savior, he has risen from the dead, and our joy is ever abundant there. And then we close out with a longer portion of ordinary time where we really unpack the mystery of the whole Christ, try to understand who he was, his ministry, his teaching, get the full package as much as you can. There's a lot going on here, you know, there's a lot of things to have to discover. So that's kind of a brief overview of the liturgical year. But you're right, as far as music goes, the music has to fit not only the season, but the day, right? So you're just talking about the gospel reading today. Well, if I'm picking out music, there should be some kind of tie into what's going on with the other scripture, the other prayers that are a part of the Mass, because the liturgy is constructed as a whole together. It's not just a bunch of random, the people love the Beatitudes. People love talking about, can we do the Beatitude reading again? Like, that was not how we pick out our readings. We're just as intentional with the music as well, right? So in the Easter season, I mentioned it before, Alleluia is our song. We're singing praises all throughout this Easter season. Even just this past week, we had the full Easter octave. The Easter is not just a one-day cut and dry, it's done. We have a full 8-day celebration of Easter. And so at our parish, we had music at each one of our daily 12:10 masses just to kind of give a little bit of extra oomph, give a little bit more of that opportunity to sing the praises of the Easter season, because we were without it for so long in Lent. So there's all kinds of different factors that go into this, but you're right, it's not just kind of an arbitrary, this sounds good, let's just throw this in there. We really want to be intentional with our praise to God, because He's our Savior. We should worship Him with everything we can.
Amen. So true. And Patrick, let's talk a little bit about the contrast now, because this is fresh in our minds, right? You've just been through the season of Lent. Then we have up to the Triduum, right? Beautiful. And now Easter. Kind of walk us through that, right? We start with Lent, how the music and everything behind it really takes us into the space that we want to be in.
So you might think of Lent as a time of dryness, right? You think about the 40 days in the desert. There's this great imagery that we can tie into there with Lent. And musically speaking, one of the things the church asks us to do is to maybe simplify in some terms just the general scope of what we do. And so the general instruction says that we should only have instrumentation at Mass for the Sundays of Lent to support congregational singing, just what's needed there to give us enough to kind of get started. And, we're pretty darn good about this sort of thing. We can do a lot of things, a cappella even. Like with Good Friday service, we don't have any instruments whatsoever, and we sang the whole service a cappella. It's kind of this beautiful thing, just use the human voice and pray that way. But we simplify kind of in this time, right? And so it's a little bit less intensive musically. And then you get to the Triduum, and now we're really entering deeply into the Paschal mystery, going through each day, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, then the Vigil, and then, of course, Easter Sunday after that. And so there's a progression happening here where there is very specific elements of the Paschal mystery being unpacked in each one of these liturgies, and so the music really ties into that. Mm-hmm. And when we get to the Easter Vigil then, when that Gloria hits for the first time and we're singing these praises, it's kind of a party, there's a lot of beautiful things happening. We crank it up and we let our hearts sing out as we've been longing to do for so long. And we get to experience that Easter joy. So then we get into this Easter season and we want to prolong that joy. The season of Easter is longer than the season of Lent. And so we want that song of Alleluia to resound again and again so that we experience that great joy and sustain that as a sign of our hope and our faith in Christ our Savior, in whom we are so fortunate and so blessed to have had redeem us.
So true. We're talking with Patrick McGuire, Director of Music for Saints Anne and Joachim Catholic Church. Patrick, something struck me as you were speaking there. I love how, for instance, obviously Holy Thursday, wonderful, right? Because we do get the bells and the glories, that
right.
little,
mm-hmm.
maybe talk about, because some people might be going, well,
what's going on?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Right, so we don't get glory all throughout Lent, and then we get to Holy Thursday, and okay, here's the glory, right? So it's not given the same level of joy that we get at the Easter Vigil, right? Hopefully, if you attended both of those services, you can see there's a very clear difference between those two. But Holy Thursday is outside of Lent. Lent is over at that point, right? And so when we enter into the Paschal mystery that's part of the Triduum, we're celebrating something different than this season of Lent. So the Gloria is present on Holy Thursday as a part of this Paschal Triduum there. Mm-hmm. You could maybe say it's almost like bookending things a little bit, where you start with the Gloria on Holy Thursday, and from that moment on, you get this instruction that says, again, the instrumentation should be next to nothing up through Good Friday until we get to the Gloria back on the Easter Vigil. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like we get this Gloria here to kind of say, here's what's coming at the end of this. We're about to enter into this really tough stretch here, and then it's going to be glorious mm-hmm. again.
Again, it's what comes to my mind, and this might not be liturgically accurate, but when I think of Holy Thursday, everything you said, awesome. It's like, okay, obviously it's the institution of the Mass, institution of holy orders, right? We have this. I mean, it's the film of the Passover. It's celebrating the Passover. I think everything you said, that's this prefiguring, right, of what do you have on the other side? Guess what? We've got the new sacrifice, the Mass, all these things, right? And I love what you said about Good Friday, because, you know, priests come in, they prostrate. It's silent, right? It's somber. And when we enter into that, it's this darkness, right? We are there. It's the darkness of the tomb, right? Only voice, right? Nothing else going on. We experience that darkness of Good Friday, the eclipse, if you will, a total eclipse.
Yeah, there you go.
You know?
And I think that's something that we miss in our culture, especially in America, right? If you go into Europe, like, people understand this. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to be in mourning. It's like, we all want to avoid the sadness and the darkness and the despair of life. But what that does when you just bury that and you just say, oh, no, it's going to be okay. We're going to forget about it, right? Like, if we just said, oh, Gloria on Thursday, well, it's going to come back on Saturday as well. What if we just did Glory on Good Friday as well? Like, we know it's coming. Let's remind people so they're not too sad. Well, no, it's a really good thing to enter into that sadness and to just feel that authentically, to feel that pain and that suffering, and unite that to Jesus Christ. He certainly suffered quite a bit himself. He certainly wasn't happy during the midst of his crucifixion. When we enter into that, it accentuates and it amplifies the joy on the other side of that. When we get to feel that authentic joy after feeling that authentic sorrow and that whatever burdens we carry there, we cast all that upon the cross when we go to adore it on Good Friday. When we turn that around in the Easter season and we spend 50 days singing Alleluia and just worshiping the risen Christ, that's so much more impactful.
Yeah, yeah. So true. Then talk with Patrick McGuire here, director of music at St. San Andreas. And of course, getting back to the Holy Saturday, there's instrumentation. I mean, this is the full-blown thing. Let's talk about that for a minute, and then how we encounter Christ throughout the rest of the Easter season in music and the liturgy.
Absolutely. So, like I said, Alleluia is the song. That's Amen. The key, right? So yep. We start with that, and it's always kind of nice to bring in extra instrumentation if you can for some of these things. We brought in a brass quintet for our Easter Vigil service, which is fantastic. There's a stop on the organ called the Zimbelstern, which is kind of like a Sanctus bells, if you will. It's kind of like ding 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 ding, and they just go over top. So that you put that on for the Gloria on the Easter Vigil, and that's kind of like an extra texture to be like, hey, it's back. You know, that's kind of fun.
Love it.
So there's some little things like that, sure. But generally speaking, in the Easter season, you know, we want that song of praise to be sung, and there are so many great hymns for the Easter season filled with Alleluias. And as I plan this each year, I go through the hymnal and I'm like, oh look at this one, oh look at that one, oh wow, there's someone. I gotta get them all in there. But also try to maintain, you know, a little bit of restraint so that we're not just blowing the roof off the doors every single week. But we want there to be joy in our song. But also, there's particular themes to some of these Sundays coming up as well. Last Sunday we had Divine Mercy Sunday, right? So There's a Wideness in God's Mercy was our offertory hymn, for example. There's something that really ties into that liturgy. We have Good Shepherd Sunday coming up in a little bit here. You know, the King of Love, my shepherd is. There's no Alleluia specifically in that, but that's a great song of joy for the occasion there, and it ties into those readings. So we're cognizant of the joy of the Easter season as an overarching concept, but we still look at these individual liturgies. What's being said in the gospel? What are the other readings? What are the prayers? What's the psalms? What are the antiphons? What's that whole message there? And then how do we tie that into the joyous season of Easter as a whole? And so it's kind of like you get a 50,000 foot view and you zoom in a little bit more and you kind of get closer to the heart of the messages that's there present with each day, and you get a healthy combination of those two things working together to provide you a good context for worship throughout the Easter season.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Maybe in the time we have left, let's take any individual mass, just the flow of the mass and music within the liturgy, or how it kind of comes together.
Sure. I always like to think of the processional as being something that can maybe bring people into the space of worship if you're out of it, and to signify the what's about to come, perhaps. That's always something that's kind of in my mind when I'm picking a processional hymn, but it always starts with anything for looking at what the antiphon text is. What's the message there? How can I pair that together? Or even better yet, can I get the antiphon in there too? I like to have the actual antiphon done sometimes as well. And the same thing for all the rest of the hymns. Offertory may be a little bit more of a meditative character, but in the season of Easter, I do like to celebrate as well, so maybe there's some of that. Communion time, we maybe tie it right into the Eucharist, or if there's a specific message in the gospel that we can really tie in well, sure, we put that out there. And especially in the Easter season, processional, praise the Lord. Let's Amen. Go, let's have some fun, let's praise the Lord.
Great. Patrick, thank you for sharing your gifts and opening things up for it. That was a beautiful beautiful catechesis, if you will, on the beauty of music and the liturgy. Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it.
My sincere pleasure, Tim.
All right. Well, when we come back, we'll be talking with Dr. James Link on discernment, especially for the diaconate, what it means and how important it is. You're listening to Real Presence Live, and we'll be back right after this.
Stay with us. There's more Real Presence Live to come on the Real Presence Radio Network. Did you know you can listen to the RPR Network when you're on the go? Just search for Real Presence Radio in your app store. Listen live to any station across the network at any time, so you can stay connected to your local community from wherever you are. Plus, if you miss a program, the Real Presence Radio app is your one-stop shop for local and national podcasts, including our signature show, Real Presence Live. The Real Presence Radio app, with you every step of your faith journey. Download it today and see what you've been missing.
This is Father Bo Brown from the Diocese of Duluth. A lot of times us as Catholics, we struggle with the Holy Spirit because the Father is so approachable. He has a name that's very, that we all know, right? That we can relate to, and the Son as well. And when we get the Holy Spirit, oftentimes He can take this kind of back seat in our relationship with God. And we see early on in the book of Acts and in the disciples in the early life of the church, we see how they live with the Holy Spirit and they express to us what it's like to live with Him and how He both sanctifies what they do and their ministry and gives them special gifts, and also how He sanctifies their own lives. And they talk about how the Spirit brings certain effects in their life, like joy and peace, patience, kindness, generosity, self-control. So I think it's good for us to think about today. What's our relationship with the Holy Spirit like? Is He a real person in our lives? We have the same kind of relationship with Him that we have with the Father and the Son.
Let us run to Mary, and as her little children, cast ourselves in her arms with a perfect confidence. St. Francis de Sales. Join together with families across the local area for the Rosary, nightly here on Real Presence Radio. On Wednesday through Monday nights, tune in at 8 p.m. Central, and on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Central. Gather the whole family together and pray this powerful prayer with us. Join us for the Rosary Wednesday through Monday at 8 p.m. and Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Central here on the RPR Network.